Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 8 at 23,557. It's a record high close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And whenever the Dow Jones Industrial Average hits a record high close, we have a celebration here at the Money Radio Megaplex in beautiful uptown Scottsdale. Money Radio staff gathers in the control room. And look at that, they're actually gathering in the control room today. Yesterday, we had what can only be described as a pathetic effort put forth in the record-breaking ceremony. They just basically scattered for the milk and cookies down in the break room. We had a staff meeting after the show yesterday. And it was determined that a little bit more effort was required on the part of the staff. Otherwise, you know, milk and cookies could go the way of the dodo bird. We also determined that it was important to have quality cookies down in the break room. So today we have what is described as Baltimore's finest cookie. It is a burger chocolate cream. That's burger with two E's, no U's. A burger chocolate cream. And these things look decadent. I mean nasty decadent. I don't think I can even try it. I'm guessing about 1,000 calories per cookie, just a guess. And they're lighting the candles. And who do we have? Renee is going to lead the parade today. We've got Renee, James, Josh, Wes, Doreen, and the ubiquitous Crespin and Wendy joining in because it's from Baltimore after all. There they go. Dow up 8 at 23,557. S&P 500 down just a fraction at 2,590. NASDAQ Composite down 18 at 6,767. Russell 2000, small and mid caps down 18 at 1479. Small caps just aren't participating here. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 1 basis point at 2.31%. Oil giving back some of yesterday's big gains, down 41 cents at $56.94 per barrel. Gold down $6.70 at $12.75.80 per ounce. The Dow Industrials started with a bit of a pop, moved above 23,600, then floundered in negative territory for much of the session before finishing at a record high close. Well, tax reform is the number one thing on everybody's mind right now. The Senate has indicated they're going to announce their own bill on Thursday, and that bill is extensively based off of the House bill, but there's likely to be some important differences. We'll wait and see more, and we'll dig into it later in the hour as well. Some economic data. The number of job openings in the U.S. rose slightly in September to 6.09 million, keeping them near a record high. Job openings have topped 6 million for 4 months in a row, first time ever. The Labor Department's JOLTS survey, that stands for Job Openings and Labor Turnover, shows 5.27 million people were hired in September, down from 5.42 million, and 5.24 million people lost their jobs, also down from the prior month. The so-called quits rate among private sector employees unchanged at 2.4%. The quit rate edged up to 2.2% from 2.1% if government workers are included. The higher quit rate indicates more people are confident about landing a new job and therefore willing to quit their old job. Total consumer credit increased $20.8 billion in September to a record seasonally adjusted $3.79 trillion, posting an annual growth rate of 6.6%, up from $13.1 billion gain in August. All categories of borrowing showed strength in September. Non-revolving credit, which covers loans for education and cars, rose at an annual rate of 6.3% in September. That's up from a 3.3% rate in August. Revolving credit, that's mostly made up of credit card loans, increased at an annual rate of 7.7% in September. Self-driving cars have graced public roads for almost a decade, but always with a person behind the wheel, a safety driver. Waymo, the autonomous car unit from Google parent Alphabet, will soon start chauffeuring people in minivans without safety drivers. It's a milestone for the internet giant's bid to lead the crowded pack trying to commercialize driverless technology, and they have picked Phoenix as their test market. We don't yet know the specific date for the beginning of the pilot program, but a Waymo service will arrive soon, allowing people, volunteers, guinea pigs, to hail the cars with a mobile app similar to the services like Uber and Lyft. Waymo has partnered with Lyft but hasn't shared details on that deal. Waymo's driverless cars will roll out in selected areas of Chandler, Arizona, and then expand throughout the metro Phoenix area. While third quarter earnings have been coming in better than expected, but a miss can result in sharp punishment. Today's example, Snap. The company which runs the Snapchat mobile messaging app said third quarter revenue $207 million, short of the $235 million analyst predicted. Price per ad declined some 60%, resulting in a much wider than expected loss. Daily users averaged 178 million. That missed estimates. Shares dropped 22% in after-hours trade. Twitter says users can now send tweets with as many as 280 characters. That's double the current limit. Latest attempt by the social media company to revive anemic user growth. Company started testing the longer tweet limit with a small group of users in September. Twitter found that people with the expanded character limit spent less time editing their tweets. Those people also got more followers, spending more time on the platform, and interacted more with other users on the service. Some Twitterati think brevity is the soul of the service and worry the longer form will ruin what's special about it. However, many of Twitter's 330 million active monthly users were already getting around the limit by linking to longer pieces, taking screenshots of full stories, and sending streams of tweets, called tweet storms, to complete their thoughts. All major Persian Gulf stock markets slid today. Oil prices have been adding a risk premium on jitters about Saudi Arabia's sweeping anti-graft purge. Authorities detained dozens of top Saudis, including billionaire Prince Al-Walid bin Talal, in a move widely seen as an attempt by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to suppress political opposition. Trump endorsed the crackdown, saying some of those arrested have been milking Saudi Arabia for years. Saudi banks have frozen more than 1,200 accounts belonging to individuals and companies in the kingdom, and the number keeps rising. Investors worry that this campaign against corruption involving the arrest of the kingdom's most internationally known businessmen could see the ownership of businesses and assets become vulnerable to unpredictable policy shifts. Authorities sought to reassure the business community, with the Saudi central bank saying it was freezing suspects' personal bank accounts at the request of the attorney general, but not suspending operations of their companies. In Washington, U.S. State Department said it was not informed in advance of the Saudi crackdown, but it had been reassured by Riyadh that any prosecutions of suspects would be undertaken in a fair and transparent manner. A new set of data taken from an offshore law firm again threatens to expose the hidden wealth of individuals and show how corporations, hedge funds, and others may have skirted taxes. A year after the Panama Papers, the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists has published the Paradise Papers, a massive collection of confidential information on offshore accounts. The Paradise Papers documents include nearly 7 million loan agreements, financial statements, emails, trust deeds, and other paperwork over nearly 50 years from inside Appleby, It's a prestigious offshore law firm with offices in Bermuda and beyond. The Paradise Papers reveal offshore interest and activities of more than 120 politicians and world leaders, plus information on more than 100 multinational corporations. Here are some of the findings. Jim Simons, the billionaire founder of hedge fund Renaissance Technologies, has amassed more than $7.5 billion in a previously undisclosed four-decade-old fund set up in Bermuda. More than a dozen members of President Trump's inner circle, including Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and top economic advisor Gary Cohn, held undisclosed offshore companies. Robert Mercer, a Republican donor who just said he would step down as Renaissance Tech's co-CEO, revealed to be a director of more than eight of RenTech's offshore subsidiaries, who used other offshore firms to shelter his family money funneled to political causes. Blackstone Group, co-founded by Trump economic advisor Stephen Schwarzman, used trust and companies registered in tax havens to avoid paying taxes on two UK commercial properties. Irish officials closed a tax loophole that had allowed Apple to avoid billions of dollars in taxes. Apple then enlisted international law firms to help it find a new tax home. They settled in the English Channel island of Jersey. The documents helped solve a two-year mystery of where the world's biggest company by market capitalization is booking a big share of its revenue. Bank of Utah manages more than 1,390 aircraft trust accounts that obscured the identities of the jet's largely foreign owners. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross faces questions about his financial disclosures to Congress and the government after a report that he did not disclose business ties to the son-in-law of Vladimir Putin and an oligarch under U.S. sanctions. Commodities trader Glencore, one of the top clients of Appleby, even had a Glencore room at the Bermuda office that kept information on the trader's 107 offshore companies. Silicon Valley investor Yuri Milner, an early backer of Facebook, partnered in two investments with the Russian state-controlled bank VTB Bank before it was sanctioned. And Queen Elizabeth even made a series of investments in a Cayman Island fund. It appears everybody's doing it. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 8 to close at a record high, 23,557. S&P 500 down a fraction at 2590. NASDAQ Composite down 18 at 6767. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. And the daily blog is eatthebankers.com.